Today's Shizm Sechta V'Chairis Taf Lamates. We'll begin again at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about two different mumim that are considered a mum by a Bechor in the eye. One is the Chavarver, which is like specks in the eye, and one is Mayim HaKavuim, where it's water tearing of the eye. So begins the Gemara Masnis Mani. Whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Says the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda, he represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya. Chavarver kavua boim yoim. The chavarver is identified with 40 days. Umayim hakvuim take shmoinim yoim, 80 days. Divrei Rameya, that's Rameya's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand holds, chavarver is shmoinim yoim. Chavarver takes 80 days. Veilem mayim hakvuim. So our Mishnah, that also says that everything is 80 days, says the Gemara represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Braisa. Ve'elheim mayim hakvuim, as we discussed in the Mishnah yesterday, the way you made the determination, is it a mum kavua, is by it eating different type of grain. Ochol lach v'yovish shabesh shalchan, shabesh habal, this is the gersa in the Bach. If they ate the moist and dry grain of a field that Beis Habal, that has irritated, that it gets watered just by rain. Oy sh'ochel yavish v'och akach ochalach. Or first he ate the dry and then he ate the moist. A mum. So we haven't determined that it's a mum. Ach yoichel yavish achalach. Until you eat first the dry grain and then the moist grain. V'yeshna, and this takes place over Gimel Chadashim 3 months. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah represents the same opinion as the Braisa, where the Braisa says that it has to be base Habal grain. V'ho'lach our Mishnah says either grain is acceptable. So our Gemara began today by saying that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda, but our Mishnah says you could use either type of grain, whether it comes from a field that relies on rainwater or relies on irrigation. And Yehuda says you can't use both types of field grain, answers the Gemara, Chsurim Echsrach Tani. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara is actually reinterpreting the Mishnah. Even though, as the Chazon Ish points out, normally when we have a stira between a Mishnah and a Braisa, we're going to modify the Braisa, not modify the Mishnah. He says, here it's easier to modify the Mishnah than the Braisa, and that's why that's what the Gemara does. Ochalach v'yavish shel gishamim, if you ate. Now the Gemara is interpreting what the Mishnah means. Moist and then dry grain. From a field that relies on rainwater, hareze mum, that's the way to determine that it's a mum. Beis ha-shalchim, but if it's a field that doesn't rely only on rainwater, it needs to be irrigated, ein mum, then eating any grain won't be any way to make a determination. Furthermore, udig shamim nami, this that was saying that if you eat from the field that gets watered just from rain, lochel yavesh vachach ochalach, ein amum, dry and then moist grain will not work, ach yochel yavesh achor halach. It has to be the specific order of moist grain and then dry grain. Ask the Gemara, V'yeshna Gimel Chadashim. It's said here that it takes 3 months. Ask the Gemara, in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, it says you could do this investigation in 3 months. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this correct? V'am Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Am Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashian, Adar V'Nisan, the grain in the month of Adar and the month of Nisan, is lach, is moist. El v'tishrei, the grain in the month of El v'tishrei, a yavesh. So it's 4 months. Adar v'nisan is 2, and El v'tishrei is 2. So how did you say 3 months? Asked the Gemara. Says the Gemara, when it meant, when what the Brice meant to say was Adar v'chatzi nisan, which is a month and a half. That's when it's lach. That's when it's moist. El v'chatzi tishrei is yavesh. That's when it's dry. So a month and a half plus a month and a half equal indeed 3 months. Ask the Gemara a step further. Ibayluhu, how are we to understand what the Gemara is now teaching us? Lach, that the only time you could eat moist grain and that it should be effective to make this determination, this diagnosis, if it's a mum kavua, is only bisman lach. If the moist grain was eaten during the lach months, which we just said are Adar and Nisan, and yavesh, the only time the eating of dry grain will be effective in coming to this diagnosis is b'yan hayavesh. If you eat it during the dry months, which is Elul and half of Tishrei, Oidilma, or perhaps lach v'yavesh b'zman halach. Even if you eat the dry grain during the time that moist grain is available, that will be a fair determination, which would mean that, and this is the way Alderman Farshman explained the Gemara, there is no question that the moist grain can only be eaten in the time of moist, which, as the Gemara just said, is half of Adar and Nisan, because any other time it won't be moist. Before that, it's not ready, and afterwards, it's not moist anymore. The Gemara's question is, could you save up dry grain and eat it at that time, and it'll be good? Toshma, so the Gemara says, which seems to imply that only during the moist time is the eating of the moist grain effective, and only during the dry time is the eating of the dry grain effective. And even though, as the Mefarsha point out, it turns out that this whole period is more than 3 months, because you start counting from the beginning of Adar, or the middle of Adar, to the end of Tishrei, it's more than 3 months. But the Gemara, when the Brice and the Mishnah says 3 months, it means a combination of 3 months, but not that you could do it in 3 months. It says the Gemara, it's not a compelling raya. What maybe it meant was, the ill of a Tishrei, the Paris, the dry Paris of El of a Tishrei, Machilna, could be eaten by Adavinus. But the Rishonim are still not sure how to, first of all, the Gemara doesn't answer the question, but there's even a deeper question. What does the Gemara mean to say? That you could accomplish all of this in 6 weeks? That during the same 6 weeks, you'll eat moist and dry grain? Those 6 weeks, the second half of Adar and Nisan? Or does the Gemara mean that during the second half of Adar and Nisan, you'll eat the dry, and during the next month and a half, you'll eat the moist? And during the next month and a half, you'll eat the dry, but you're not going to ever be able to do it in less than at least 3 months. Furthermore, ask the Gemara, "Bekama machilin I say, how much grain must you eat every day that this should be an effective test?" Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Pinchas ben Aruva, k'groigrus. You have to eat at least the groigrus every day." Continues the Gemara, "Amar Marava." So Rav Sabai and Rav, they asked in Etzisrael, trying to understand this test. Kigrigris besuda rishayna, adoma bekal suda vesuda. Must you eat it only in the first meal, or is in every meal must you eat a grigris? And there's a few ways of understanding the Gemara's question. One way of the Gemara's question is that you have to eat a grigris. The animal has to eat a grigris at every one of its meals. It's one way of understanding. Another way the Gemara means to be saying is that we just said you have to eat a groigris a day. Does that mean that the groigris has to be eaten at one time? Or if it spreads out eating the groigris over a number of meals, as long as every day a groigris was eaten, it's good enough? Says the Gemara, Imtim Tzulayman, if you'll say besuda rishayna, that it has to be eaten the first meal of the day, breakfast, the most important meal, kaidem achila or lach achila, is it only when nothing else was eaten yet, the animal didn't eat anything else, or even if it ate something else, it still could be effective? And the Gemara explains itself. Kaidem achila If nothing else, if the animal ate nothing else yet, vadimalei, it's certainly going to be effective. Kesama, like a medicine. Lach achila, but if it's after mai, what will be the halacha? Furthermore, ask the Gemara, kodem shtiyo lach shtiyo. Does it have to be eaten, especially before the animal drank anything, or even if the animal drank already? Kodem shtiyo, and again says the Gemara, before the animal would have drank anything, vadi malalei kasari, it's certainly useful, just like the animals ate barley before they drank. Lach shtiyo, but after drinking, the Gemara wants to know, mai, is it going to be helpful? And as the Chazanish here too points out, the issue of eating and the issue of drinking are two separate issues. And what it may be that eating can't be done before and drinking can, or vice versa. They have different attributes. Furthermore, says the Gemara, kosher mutter. Can the animal be tied up, or does it have to be specifically untied when you give it to eat? And the Gemara explains itself. When it's untied, it certainly feels good, better, and it'll be helpful. But the Gemara wants to know, kosher mai, what is the halacha when it's tied up? Another question. Levadoi or im chaveri? Could it eat it by itself or only in company with other animals? Explains the Gemara. Im chaveri vadimalalei, if it's eating with other animals, so it certainly feels better and it's more effective. The Gemara wants to know, levadoi mai, what would be halacha if it ate this medicine by itself? Can it be effective? Be'ir b'sada. Does it have to be in the field or even in the city? Because, says the Gemara, b'sada vadimalei. In the field, certainly out in the open air, it's better. Be'ir mai. And says the Gemara, bar Ravashi. Now Ravashi took this a step further. Im timtzalayim b'sada. If we're going to say that for order for this to be effective, it has to be out in the open, gina hasmucha l'ir. A garden that's near the city, mai, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. So it's interesting that we learn now a piece of Gemara, but it's relevant la halacha l'maisa. The Paiskim can discuss a situation where I bought a cow from you. And when you sold me the cow, you told me that this cow produces a certain amount of gallons of milk every day. So certainly, the Paiskim say, if there are edim, what you said is just untrue, so it's a mekachtos. On the other hand, the Paiskim also say that if it's not such a significant difference, the halacha doesn't pay attention to it. The question here is, where you sold me a cow, you told me that the cow produces a certain amount of milk every day, and now I bought the cow, it's not producing anything close to that amount of milk. Do I have a right to claim that it was a mekachtos? So the Paiskim say this Gemara is a raya that I can't. Because what does our Gemara show us? That there's so many different environmental and other causes that affect an animal. So here too, you the seller could tell me the buyer. That could be that the environment and the circumstances that you, the customer, have put the animal in caused that the animal should not produce as much milk as it did when it was by me, and you can't claim it was a mekachtos. Continues the Gemara. Rechanina ben Tignas Omer. We learned that the Mishnah of Rechanina ben Tignas said that you have to check the animal 3 times in 80 days. Says the Gemara, Ovad Sheish Mishaloshim. And as Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what does that mean? Rashi says that you take the number 80 and you divide it in 3. So after 26 and a half days, you do a test if it still has this disease. Again, after 26 and a half days, and then at day 80. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says you did the test on day 1 when you have it, day 40, and day 80. Another question. Barmine, Pinchas. He asked them the following question. The animal ate this grain, and it's not better. So now the question is, so we know the animals bal mum, as the Mishnah and the Gemara have taught us. But the Gemara's question is a gevaldige question. The mefreya have a mumma? Does that mean that this determines that from when it started displaying this disease, it's a mum? Or mikan alaba have a mumma? Or only is considered bal mum after day 80? Ask the Gemara, lamai nafkamina? What's nafkamina? Answer the Gemara, lamilma bepijoinai. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is not regarding Bechor. Because now when we have the question on the Bechor is about Mum. If it was about Mum on day 1 and about Mum on day 80, it makes no difference. The issue here is, if you had a different animal that we're going to learn, that we've learned, that we're going to learn, that Bali Mum for all animals are a disqualification. And now the question is, you had this animal, and before day 80 came, you determined that you did it, you applied it. So if it's a bal mum, the pidyon is a valid pidyon, because the halacha is psulei hamikdashim, you're supposed to be paida. And that money becomes hegdish. And if you use that money for your own personal use, you have been moil behegdish, with all the halachas of meal behegdish, that you have to give a care of a chaymish, you have to bring a asham ilus, if it was b'shaydik. If on the other hand, it wasn't yet a bal mum, the entire pidyon wasn't a pidyon, and there's no issue of milah. And the Gemara explains itself. E amrit l'mafreya have a mumma. It would say it's considered about mum from when it started displaying this disease, and then you appointed it mo. Vimi kaila habo have a mumma. But if it only is determined to be a mum on day 80, so when you appointed it, the pidyon was nothing, and therefore the money is not hegdish, and therefore there's no mo. There's no issue of me'ila. So the Reishis Bikurim asks, why does the Gemara have to come up with this kind of a scenario that you apply the money, the animal, or money, and the question is that money hegdish, and there's a problem mila behegdish? Is the money not hegdish, and there's no problem mila behegdish? Why does the Gemara say a simple situation? That you use the actual animal for your own purposes. If it's hegdish, then you were mila behegdish. If not, you weren't mila behegdish. Says the Reishis Bikurim, that when we're speaking about the animal itself, when we're speaking about the animal itself, even if you can't say for sure it's a balmum, it's certainly a suffolk balmum. And there is no din of mila behegdish on a suffolk balmum. That's why the Gemara didn't speak about the animal, the Gemara only spoke about the money. Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks another question. He says, why does the Gemara say a very simple, why couldn't the Gemara oppose the nafkamina in a much simpler way? Is the pidyon effective or not? If it's a balmum, as I said, you could be paida. If it's not a balmum, you can't be paida. Why do you have to come up that you had the money and you used the money for your own personal use? So the achroinim, the chazanish, and other achroinim answer Rabbi Kivega's kasha by explaining that you could do a pidyon al tanai, meaning that you take the money and you say, if the hegdish, if it's a balmum, so good. So let the pidyon be effective now. If not, it should be effective later. So since it's not clear that the pidyon will always be ineffective if it's not a balmum, that's why the Gemara didn't want to talk about the pidyon. The Gemara wanted to speak about the money. But in understanding this Gemara, is a much more fundamental. We need to understand what is the Gemara's question. The simplest way of understanding the Gemara's question is, what does the test accomplish? Does the test tell us that it was always sick? Or does the test tell us that it only is actually sick after the 80 days pass? That's one way the Mefarshim explain. Other Mefarshim explain that here we have an animal that has a chazakah, that the tzcheskes kashrus has been undermined, because we see it is displaying this disease. We just don't know if it's a mum kavu or not. That's when the Gemara's question comes up. But were it not to have that chazaka, were to have a cheskes kashrus, of course it's only mekan al haba. Another way the Gemara is understood is, Avni Nezer explains the Gemara this way, because we've learned and we've been learning that it's not just enough that an animal should be a balmum, that it should be considered a balmum. It also has to be a mum shebegolui. And the Gemara's question is, at what point can this be considered a mum shebegolui? Is it only ready from the beginning or only on day 80? Why am I so focused on these different pshatim in the Gemara, besides to say pshat in the Gemara? There's a very interesting question that comes up, la'aloch l'maisa. There's an individual, in halacha, we all know the rule is that somebody who's a shaita, somebody that the halacha considers deranged, all of his transactions are meaningless. So let's say you have an individual, who, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch identify how one is identified as a shaita. So why would be the halacha if you have an individual who is, who's done whatever it means to be a shaita three times? So now he's a shaita. But the same question comes up. At what point is he considered a shaita? Is it only now after he's done it the third time? Or is he a shaita already from when he acted this way the first time? What would be the nafkamina if he did any business transactions in between? If we say he's a shaita only at the end, then what he did till today is 100% a valid transaction. If he says he's a shaita from the beginning, all the business transactions he did in the interim would be null and void. And the comparison of this case, the case of a shaita to our Gemara, really depends on how we learn the Gemara. Because if we follow the approach of the Avni Nezer, that the Avni Nezer is saying that here it's a special issue because it's a, there's an issue of Mum Shebegolui, we take the first approach, because here it involves a test, it could be that the Din Shaita will not be the same as here. Actually, I saw him a fresh mask, that all of us should have thought that there's an obvious raya from a rule that we all know to answer this question. We know, we learned together, Masechta Bava Kamma. The Gemara discusses the din of a tam and the muad. The tam pays the first three times. An animal the first three times is a tam, pays chatzin nezik, and then it's a muad, it pays nezik shalim. We don't say that once the animal became a muad, it's retroactively a muad from the first time. So isn't that a raya that we don't say that something, that things happen retroactively? So the Mefarshim say that the tam and muad is not a good raya. Because even if we'll say, I'm not saying that is the halacha, but even if we'll say that the animal is indeed a muad from the first time, we could not make the owner pay nezek shalim. Why? Because the halacha is that the owner doesn't pay unless he gets asra. And since at the time we gave the asra, the animal is not yet a mu'ud, because we didn't know for sure it's going to be a mu'ud. So we only gave asra for chatzin nezek. So if you only gave asra for chatzin nezek, you'd only be obligated to pay chatzin nezek. So this, as we just learned, is a very geschmack piece of Gemara. And Shmuel also recognized that his brother Pinchas asked a great question. So he said to him, Kari Shmuel alay, Shmuel said about his brother Pinchas, Psochim bazazu, that a person who's a Pesach, Bazazu, the people who went to war, the Pasuk says, what the Pasuk there means is the Psichim, the people who are lame, they can't even walk, they're the ones that captured the most of the war. What was Shmuel saying to Pinchas? You're not such a great Talmud Chacham, but here you ask such a great question. To which the Mefarshim are very troubled. Is that the way Shmuel speaks to his brother? After he asks a great question, he says, how did you ask such a great question? You're not so smart. So I saw the Mefarshim say, very nice pshat. The way I just explained the Gemara, a balmum, in a way, is stronger than an animal that's not a balmum. Because a balmum is able to become nifta, you can redeem a balmum. A healthy animal cannot be redeemed. So Shmuel said to his brother Pinchas, the issue you raised shows that sometimes the Bali Mum, sometimes the people that we think aren't so great and aren't so smart, they have a lot more power than what we really think that they have. Continues the Mishnah discussing the Mumim of the Bechor. Chayt Meshenikiv, if the nose has a hole, or Nifkam or a niche, or Nizdak or split, Sfam Meshenikiv, his lip has a hole in it, Nifkam has a niche, Nizdaka or has a split. Says the Brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Nikfu Choytm Zel Zel B'Toch Zem B'Chutz. If it has a hole from the outside, Hareza Mum, then it is a Mum. Mifnim, if it has a hole in the inside, and a Mum. So Rashi learns that the Gemara means to say that the hole in the, has to be on the outside of the nostril. And as the Mefarshim also go on to say, and not that it has to have both nostrils. If one nostril has a hole, it's going to be considered a Bal Mum. The Rambam has a different interpretation. He says we're talking about the septum in the nose, and the difference is it in a place where that hole is visible versus where it's not visible. I did see an interesting question that the place could bring up. Here they're saying a hole in the nose is considered a balmum. So the question is, let's say you have a person who used to wear a nose ring, and Baruch Hashem became a bal tshuva. And the halach is, the l'chatchila, one should not take for bal tefillah somebody who's a bal mum. Could you take somebody who has a hole in his nose from the days that he had nose ring? So the Paiskim say, there's some Paiskim that are machmer. It seems from our Gemara. First of all, it depends if you learn Rashi's Peshat or the Rambam's Peshat. If you follow Rashi's Peshat, there's some Paiskim that are machmer. There are other Paiskim that say that the Gemara is specifically speaking about an animal. And the rules of what is considered a mum by an animal and what is considered a mum by a person are not the same. So specifically, when a person has a hole in his nose, because that was what he did for decorative purposes, because he thought that's nice, we'll make him into a mum. Svas of shenikva shenistika, amra papa, tura broad svasai. Only the outer part of the lip is where the animal becomes a mum. Says the Mishnah. Chutin chitzonius, if the outside part of the gum, shenifkvu, that were eroded, shenigmu, or that's a mum. Hatnimim, the inside of the mouth, is nekru. The gum over there to be considered balmum has to be completely uprooted. The animal has molars. Anything from inside the molars, vafloyas tiyamis, the animal will not be considered balmum. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Tiyomis. Says the Bryce, we speak about the Tiyomis of the animal. Is a Tiyomis, Mena Tiyomis Lufnim, anywhere inside after the molars. Tiyomis Apik Lufnim, and the molars have a din like they're inside. Rav Shuba Kamtsoy Aymer, and Shechtim Ella Chetzonis Bovad. We only shecht an animal if it has a mum on the outside part of the mouth, the front of the mouth. Rav Chanina Ben Antignus Aymer, Emesh Gichim Al Tiyomis Kolikar. We don't look at the back part of the mouth at all. So begins the Gemara in trying to analyze the Braisa. First of all, the Gemara says, my comma. What does the Braisa mean when it says, Hatiyomis, and immediately asks, Ezatiyomis? Vesu, furthermore, asks the Gemara, Rav Shuba Kutsoy Hanatam Kama. Aren't they both saying that what's doing inside the mouth isn't a big deal? So where's the Machloikus? Answers the Gemara, Chsuri Mechsarachatani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Ezat Panemius, what's considered inside the mouth? Minatiyamis Lufnim. Anything inside after the molars. The Tiyamis Etzmak Lufnim. And the Tiyamis itself is considered like inside. B'madvar Mamurim. So when do we differentiate between the inside of the mouth and the outside of the mouth? Says the Tanakama. Shenifgu v'shenigmu. That the outside part of the mouth, even if it's just nifgamu or nigmu, the animal's bamum. Ava nekru, if it's completely uprooted, even if it's just on the inside part of the mouth, according to the Tanakam and Shechtim. Rav Shuba Kivtsoyimer, and Shechtim al Chitzonius, we only shecht if there's something going on in the outer part of the mouth, the visible part of the mouth. Ava pnimi shnekru, if the inner part of the mouth, if the inner gum was uprooted, mishchet alai lo shechtinen, it's not enough to be allowed to shecht the bechor, as if it's completely a Bechor Bamum, if Suli Ifsul. And as the Brisk Rav explains, the Torah Akdoshah says, when it comes to speaking about Kabbarnas, the Torah says the words, Memifchad Nidereichem, you have to use the best animal for a carbon. This animal that has this disease, even though it can't be considered Midereisa, full-fledged Bechor Bamum, it's not anymore in the category of Mifchad Nidereichem, and therefore he says it shouldn't be used. That's Rav Shuba Kivtsoy's opinion. Rav Chanina Ben Antignus is the most machmer. He says, Emash gichim al tiyog skalikar. Anything doing inside the mouth is meaningless, a fili of suli le mifsal, and would be completely kosher even to be brought as a carbon. Ask the Gemara. Boy recha vichdumi ba'ami. Yesh mechusa eva mifnim, eim mechusa eva mifnim. If there's animals missing an organ inside its body, is it considered a balmum or not? Ask the Gemara Lamai. Let's understand your question, says the Gemara. Ila b'char, if we're speaking about a b'char, p'seicha iviksev, and these are all external movement. Ila kachim, if we're speaking about the ability to bring this animal as a carbon, iveris ha'shaviksev. Says the Gemara, Levrui uleshchute, like ibaylon, that leshchute lefruke like ibaylon. In order that you should be able to let that animal that's a bechor that has an internal organ missing, that it should be considered a full-fledged balmum, or if it's a kachim that we just learned a few moments ago, that only an animal that becomes balmum you have a right to be paida, that's no question. That this isn't enough for that. Ki baila, what is the question? Lesuli. Is this enough of a mum? Is the missing of an internal organ enough that that animal should not be brought as a carbon? And what is the Gemara's question? Tamim yil rotsin, amrachmana. The Torah says that the animal should be whole. That's when the animal can be brought as a carbon. Chsarin loy. But if it's missing an organ, it cannot be brought as a carbon. Adoma, tamim yil l'rabbis, kamum. Tamim yil l'rabbis, kamum la yibay, ma mivrum mavroy, achsam mavroy. The Torah compares the two, and if this is not about mum, it's completely kosher. Toshma, so the Gemara brings a raya. So now the question is, an animal that's missing an internal organ, can it be brought as a carbon or not? Toshma, so Gemara attempts to bring raya from the following braisa. The pasuk says, v'shtai hakloyis, so the Torah is saying, only an animal that has two kidneys can be brought as a carbon. V'loy bal kulya achas, not an animal that has only one kidney. V'loy bal shalosh kulyos, not an animal that has three kidneys. V'tanyidach, so here it seems that if it's missing a kidney, it can't be brought as a carbon. But, says the Gemara, v'tanyidach, there's another braisa that says, yesireno l'rabbis bal kulya achas. So how do we reconcile these two braises? Savruo, the ein bari b'achas. Everybody agrees that the animal cannot be created with one kidney. The har mechaser v'chaser. What must have happened here was that the animal started off with two kidneys and lost the kidney. And b'hokim mefki. And what is the machloikus of these two brises? The masover, the first mandama holds chisarin shebefnim shmechsarin. A missing internal organ is considered a disqualification, and that's why that braisa holds that it cannot be brought as a carbon. Since it's not visible. Says the Gemara, no. Everybody could hold that an animal could be created with one organ. Furthermore, it makes no difference if it's external or internal. Vloikasha. So what is the machloikis? Or actually, as he says, there's really no machloikis. Kanch niver b'shtayim b'chasru. Kanch niver b'achas mikara. The way to understand the two braises is as follows. If the animal was created with only one kidney, so then that animal is fine. If the animal was created with two kidneys, and now it's missing one, so as Rashi explains, the place where that kidney was there previously now has an empty space. That's why that animal cannot be used. Ask the Gemara, how can we interpret the braisa that way? We're saying that we're talking about a case that it started with one, with two, and it's missing one. But that's not the way to understand that braisa, asked the Gemara. The braisa speaks about the animal that has one kidney together with the animal that has three kidneys. Now, certainly the animal that has three kidneys was born that way. Ma shalosh mikara. You can't add a kidney to the animal. So isn't achas mikara? Also means that it started with one. So we're saying the braisa that says it's good is because it started that way. The braisa that says it's not good is because it's missing one. It started with two and it's missing one. That can't be because it wouldn't be similar to the three. Says the Gemara. Al-Hocha, what is the way to understand the Gemara? The way to understand the Gemara is Yesh Briya Ba'achas Kamiflegi. Masava Yesh Briya Ba'achas or Masava Ein Briya Ba'achas. Can an animal be created with only one kidney? Which is a very hard Gemara, as the Chazanish asks, how are we arguing over Metzias? If we see that there are animals with one kidney. So one pshat that I saw, a very interesting pshat, a very famous machlokes achronim. There was an animal that was slaughtered, and it was discovered that it didn't have a heart. And the question was, what is the story with this animal? So some paiskim said that this animal could not have possibly been created without a heart. Nobody could be born without a heart. It must have had a heart, and the heart fell out, and it's a kosher animal. Other paiskim said, no, that this is an animal that's without a heart. So that's the same way they want to say here. Is it possible to be created only with one kidney or two kidneys? But that's not Pashup Shat. The way the Chazon Ish explains the Gemara is very nice. He says there are, of course, animals that are only, and people as well, I guess, that are created with only one kidney. The question is, how does the halacha look at that one kidney? Does the halacha look at that one kidney as if it was two? Because if Hashem created you with one kidney, He created you as a person with one kidney that does the job of two, and therefore it's not a problem. Or are you considered a diseased animal? Is this considered a diseased animal because it's missing a kidney? Rabbi Yochanan has a different way of explaining. The kulam ein bari ba'achas. V'chsarim b'fnim shmei chsarim. Everybody agrees that if it's missing, it's a problem. V'loy kasha. What is the machloikis? Kansha chasu koim shchita. Kansha asu lacha shchita. The question was that when the animal you had an animal, it's a carbon, and it had two kidneys. And one now fell out. The question is, if it fell out before the shchita, then the animal is a balmum, and the animal is not a kosher carbon. If it fell out after the shchita, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Is that true that if the animal was there, if the animal was fine by the shchita, but it became a balmum before the kabbalah, the halacha is that it's still a kosher carbon? Ask the Gemara, Vamav Zera Amarav, Hatsarim Aizanapahar. You have an animal that's a carbon, and you made it into Balmum after the Shechita. V'achkach Kivil Damai, and only afterwards you do the Kabbalah Sadam, that carbon will still be possible. Shinemar, V'lokim Adam Apar, Hapam Par Shayu Kfar. Therefore the Gemara reinterprets what the Gemara says. Elkan Shechasu Kan Kabbalah, Kan Shechasu Ach Kabbalah. If the animal lost the kidney before the Kabbalah, then the halacha is that animal, that carbon is possible. If the kidney only fell out after the Kabbalah, it's fine. So Machlokes Rishonim, what about the halacha? Is the halacha treated like the Kabbalah, or is the halacha treated not like the Kabbalah? Is it treated like the Zrika that we're going to learn in a moment that thing doesn't apply by Zrika? Rav Chaim Brisk and the Chazon Ish have the yeshiva shemachloikas how to understand this Gemara. Rav Chaim Brisk understands the Gemara that even though the animal is dead, it still can be considered a balmum, bechidish. And that's why the animal can't be a balmum until after the Kabbalah. That's how Rav Chaim Brisk explains. Chazon Ish says you can't speak about an animal that's dead being a balmum. It's dead already. He's saying there's a new din that the Torah is mechadish over here, that the animal, until the Kabbalah, or perhaps even the Halacha, are complete, has to be whole. But nothing to do with Dinei Be'almum. Ask the Gemara, Ulach Kabbalah Kodem Zrika Mishari, is the Halacha that if the animal was fine until the Kabbalah took place, and became and lost something before the Zrika, it's Mutter? For Tanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Set Tom Zocha Ben Shana Yilachem, it has to be healthy, whole, during the Shechita. Continues the Braisa, that the same halacha applies. So how are you saying that as long as it was whole, till the Kabbalah it's fine, doesn't this Braisa speak till the Zrika? Answers the Gemara, Tigma Ben Shana. The way to understand the Brisa is as follows. As far as Hilchas Mumim are concerned, it has to be only till the Kabbalah. As far as the age, it has to be till the Zrika. Hachanayim Stabra, and the Gemara says that this is an acceptable understanding. The Tanya of Yeshua Omer, Kara Zvach Shvetayra, any carbon shnishtaimem kazayis basur or kazayis chaylev, as long as you have a kazayis basur, kazayis chaylev, sarik sadam. I arrested the animal is gone, doesn't make a difference. Shma mino. So the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Till the Kabbalah, or perhaps the halacha, the animal can't be missing anything. Afterwards, to do the zrika, as long as you have a kazayis, it's enough. And the Mefarshim explain why are the halachas for zrika different than the halacha for Kabbalah? Because zrika is not done to the animal. Zrika is done to the dam. So the fact that the animal is missing an organ doesn't bother me. Kabbalah is a din in the behema, and therefore we have to have a whole animal. But what is the Braisa saying, and that's what we're going to focus on right now, that even though as far as zrika is concerned, as long as you have a kazayis, it's fine, kazayis chelev, kazayis dam, but it has to be that if the animal is 1 year old, it can't be over that by the time of the zrika. Ask the Gemara, obvious question. Or me committed the shash chita of ben shana, that by the street there was ben shana, or the kshas kabbalah of alocha of ben shtayim shana, and now it got older, answers the Gemara. Amarav is also married shas pasal pekachim. A very bechidish. We're always used to explaining that things go by Rosh Hashanah or by the date. Says the Gemara, by kachim we go according to the hour. So let's say the animal is supposed to be up to a year old. And it became a year old at 10 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock, it's fine. It's not yet a year old. 10 o'clock, it's already a year old. And the Bryce is teaching us that if you do the Zrika after 10 o'clock, the animal's too old. So the Mefarshim ask a very important question. Shas Parsus Bekotshim is the wrong wording. It should have said Shas Machshiris. Because let's think about it. We're saying now that if not for this, the animal would already be considered possible. Why would it be considered a year old? Because as soon as the day begins, it would be considered a year old. So don't wait for the day, look at the hour. So the Mishnah should have said, Shas Machshirais, not Shas Paislais. So the Farshim answer, yes, when you're dealing with an animal that's supposed to be a year old or less, so then 10 o'clock is a problem because it's the cutoff time. But let's say the animal is supposed to be more than a year old. So then, on the contrary, it's good. You have to know that if it's before 10 o'clock, it's too young, and after 10 o'clock, it's old enough. That's why it could sometimes be, the pshat could be good, or could be bad. That's one teretz I saw. Another teretz that I saw speaks to a very fundamental issue. The question is, a boy is bar mitzvah, a girl is bas mitzvah, 12 years old, 13 years old. When does the bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah begin? So there are actually three opinions. Our minig, which is the way the Noida Behuda says is the minig, we go according to the date. Go according to the date. So if today is your bar mitzvah, so last night at Seisa Kachavim you became bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. There are opinions, and the Stechemet says that that's also the minig by the Sfaradim. There are opinions that say it goes according, like this Gemara says, the hour. So let's say a boy's birthday was 12 o'clock. He was born at 12 o'clock. He's only bar mitzvah at 12 o'clock. And that's why I saw a Moshe Sternbuch. This is a very interesting chumrah. That a boy, let's say today, is his bar mitzvah. So I'm not suggesting on your first day of bar mitzvah you should only put on tefillin for the first time at 12 o'clock. But he says you should put on tefillin again. Why? Because till 12 o'clock, you were a cotton. Now you're a gadol. You have to put out tefillin as a gadol. There's another day that says that it's 13 and a day. 12 years old and a day, and it's only till tomorrow. If that pshat, Shas Paisus Bekotshim is very gishmak. Because today, we don't say you wait till tomorrow, but already today, it's possible not like by people. The Chassidus Sfarim explained, Shas Paisus Bekotshim is Shas. If somebody's busy measuring the amount of time he learns, I'm going to learn an hour. I'm going to learn 2 hours. I'm going to daven for a certain amount of time. Everything is measured. That's priceless. That's the wrong way to go. A person should give, devote as much time as I can learn, I should learn. And as much time as I need to daven, that's how much I should daven, not limited to a certain amount of time. Says the Gemara. This issue could suggest the Gemara about shoyz, about chsarn, even bifnim, a missing organ, suggesting Mars Lemaka Tanoi. The Pasuk says, Umar Vakosus Vinosus Vakara, Kurma Beitzim. The Torah says that all these kind of animals should not be brought, if the testicles and the organ are crushed or cut, should not be brought as a carbon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Bebeim v'lo begid. So you see, again, lemika tanoi, umav kosu nosus, kum bebeim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Bebeim v'lo begid. So you see that it's an internal issue and it's still a problem. It says the Gemara, aim af bebeim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's internal. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov v'aymer, kum begid. Rabbi Yosi v'aymer, moach v'kosus af bebeitin. The issue of moach v'kosum, it could be on the beim and the gid. Noch nosuk v'kosus are begid in the beim loy. Suggest the Gemara, my lab behakamifki, what is their machlokes? The mass of the first man d'amah holds chsarim v'fnim shmei chsarim, and therefore even if it's a defect in the beim in the testicles, it's a chisarin. Or Masov that says it has to be strictly in the gid holds loy shmei chisarin. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to interpret this machlokes, then says the Gemara, we don't understand how to understand Rabbi Yosi. Tisbara, Rabbi Yosi makasover. Ikasover chisarin v'fnim shmei chisarin, so I feel nasuk v'karos should be a problem by the beim. Vikasover loy shmei chisarin, then I feel moch v'kosus nami loy. Says the Gemara, the machlokes here is a different machlokes altogether. The halacha is that a mum, everybody will agree that a chesaron shebefnim is considered a chesaron. But, says the Gemara, here the issue is not because of chesaron. Here the issue is regarding mumim. And the Gemara explains the machlokes. Rav Yehuda of a moch, the kosos, have a mumim. They are also considered mumim shebegoli. The mechtziki, because the testicles are shriveled up, and therefore it's considered mum shebegoli. Nasavikars are also mum. The Italian, everybody sees the gid, and everybody sees that the gid isn't right. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov sava, mechtzikars is loyav mumma. The mekara namizim in the mechtzikin. Even if they weren't crushed, sometimes they look shriveled up. Nasavikars loyav mumma. The mekara namizim in the Italian. Sometimes they looked like hanging weakly. Rav Yosi Sava, more of a cost of a mumim, though less new, because they're completely missing, and that's why it's considered a mum shebegoli. Nos v'kos, lo yav a mumim, because they're istu, even though they're not hanging in a normal way, as long as they're there, it cannot be considered a mum shebegoli.